More than 100 detainees released from Guantanamo have gone to Saudi Arabia, and they've gone through a unique rehabilitation program, the one that Jackie Northam just referred to. Christopher Bosek of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace has written about that program, and he joins us now. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And critics of the program say the Saudi government is essentially paying returned detainees to behave. Explain to us, how does the program actually work?
Well, the program is made up of three primary components. The first is intensive religious discussion and debates where you sit down with a religious scholar and they try to draw you out to explain why your beliefs or your actions were founded on a correct interpretation or understanding of Islam. And the scholars then try to present you with evidence to the contrary to demonstrate how you had misunderstood the religion. They do this in connection with a series of other things like teaching you the rules of jihad, what's authorized and what's permitted. And then the other components of the program include extensive social support. So while you're in custody, your family's taken care of. And then there are programs to help facilitate your return into society, say helping you get a job or getting a car or getting a place to live. And the third part is this implicit message of family responsibility. So when you get released, you're released into the care of your family, and they're responsible. So should you get in trouble, then the government goes back to your family.
Now, we've heard about a small number of Saudis who've gone from Guantanamo to Saudi Arabia, I gather, through the rehabilitation program, and then to Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula group. What, so far as you know, is the score for this program? How many people have done that, and how many people seem to have returned to peaceable, normal lives?
Well, 120 Saudi nationals have been repatriated from Guantanamo. Of that, 26 are either in custody, are wanted, or have been killed in security incidents. So that's about 20-80%. So the 80% have yet to break any laws or do anything that the authorities are aware of.
Have there actually been examples of families of detainees or people in the rehabilitation program that felt the consequences of their relative not doing well in the program?
Well, actually, one of the Saudis who appeared in this Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula video in January of this year, Mohammed Al-Awfi, he came back from Guantanamo, went through one of these rehabilitation programs, and then ran off to Yemen with these other guys. And one of the things that the government did straight away was they went to go visit his family. A very senior member of the royal family went and said, "I can't believe that your son, your brother, or your husband ran off and left you here all alone. You know, I can't believe that. We're going to make sure that nothing happens to you while he's away. We're going to provide for you." And they gave a whole bunch of money. And very kind of indirectly, or maybe not so indirectly, the message was sent that you should really do everything you can to help your loved one come back to Saudi Arabia. And pretty quickly, Mohammed turned himself into the Yemeni authorities and then the Saudi authorities. So using people's families is something that they try to do to get people back.
Now, well, I understand there's a lot of psychology at work in all of this. It does seem a program that's more easily run by a country where there's a lot of cash floating around than in a country that can't afford to put the families of detainees on the on the government payroll effectively or give them a nice retainer. That sounds like it's not a universally applicable program that you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these programs are incredibly expensive. And the fact that the Ministry of Interior has been given a blank check to do this makes it very easy. And the Saudis have spared no expense in trying to put these programs together. Other countries, like Yemen, you know, would have incredible difficulty doing these things because they don't have the financial resources. But the other things that help the Saudis do this are things like the religious legitimacy and the authority of the state and the power of the state to do this. So in a society where the state provides everything for you, it can be a very painful experience when the state turns off the tap and takes some of those things away. So these are some very kind of cheap methods of social control that the Saudis have used.
Christopher Bosek, associate in the Middle East program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.